With the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. Just a couple of reminders about events happening this month. Later this week is the Advanced Citrus Water Management Virtual Workshop. And later on in the month, on September 23rd and the 24th, is the Wage and Hour Workshop with Seth Merton. Visit our website at agnetwest.com for more details. Moving right along into today's program headlines, Brian German is talking with us about UCANR research that is helping to better understand hemp production. Also in today's show are details on USDA accepting applications to cover cost for organic certification. And I'm going to go ahead and start off today's program with farmers and ranchers voicing their concerns to Washington about issues on their operation. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zibby Duvall is hearing from farmers and ranchers across the nation about top issues facing their operations.
They're very concerned about the conversation that's being had around taxes and how we will move forward on a stepped-up basis. They have contacted their congressmen and senators. So we've had tremendous support, even to the point that we've had some congressmen and senators write letters from both sides of the aisle to leadership and to the president about how important it was not to change stepped-up basis and how important it was to us to be able to continue to pass our family farms on to the next generation.
He says farmers and ranchers are also telling the Environmental Protection Agency what they need from the rewrite of the Waters of the U.S. rule.
EPA's been holding listening sessions about rewriting the rule and taking comments, and we're very proud that about 75% of them sessions were farmers and ranchers that volunteered. I think that was a great showing. So we're real proud of the way agriculture stepped up to let EPA know that we want clean water, but we also have to have clear rules.
Duvall adds farmers and ranchers need to be engaged on all of these issues.
I know our farmers and ranchers are busy, but I'm telling you, we need to make sure that our farmers and ranchers be engaged on what's going on in Washington, D.C. We encourage them to be part of an organization like Farm Bureau, and alongside of Farm Bureau, be part of their commodity organization so that we can work in tandem, working for the same outcome. If you're not part of an organization, you might be like that lone wolf howling in the night. You join up with an organization like ours, we put together a pack of voices that cannot be ignored.
NAFB contributed to that report. And now for more agriculture news, here's reporter Brian German.
With the high interest level in hemp production, researchers are continually working to learn more about the crop. One project that was recently developed was a document with information on symptoms of herbicide drift in hemp. UC Cooperative Extension Agronomy Advisor Sarah Light described the value this type of resource can provide.
I believe that this resource actually will help protect all of our existing growers. Drift issues can be very contentious, and it's really important that we aren't not placing blame on producers that are adjacent to hemp fields. Hemp is a really high-value crop, so in my perspective, this isn't a resource just for hemp producers. It's really for all agricultural producers in our state, to ensure that we have kind of a copacetic production system as we like to maintain in our agricultural systems. As to where people can find it, it's UCANR publication number 8689, and that if you Google the ANR catalog.ucanr.edu.
Other research projects will also be looking into multiple aspects of hemp production.
We received some funding from the California Department of Food and Agriculture, the Fertilizer Research and Education Program, to look at the nitrogen needs of hemp. So we'll be beginning those trials at two locations in California this year. And we also are continuing to do some work around the water use of hemp, as well as a plant density and plant spacing to add value to this production system.
The bidding is opened up today for the new Drought Relief Waterbird Program. Wildlife Programs Manager for the California Rice Commission, Luke Matthews, explained what the program aims to achieve and where to go to apply.
This is a program that's being funded by the Department of Water Resources. In its essence, it's to provide some extra winter habitat for migratory birds that are coming to the Sacramento Valley in their annual migrations this winter. There's a pretty big deficit of flooded habitat this year, given the drought conditions. And so this program provides cost share payments to help operate groundwater pumps to create that habitat. and the Waterbird Foundation website is where all the applications will be submitted through. So it's calricewaterbirds.org. And so feel free to visit that. And if there's any other questions, my contacts are on there and people can reach out to me.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. Stay tuned as we'll have more on the program later on in the show today. But for now, it's time to head out for our first break of the show. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report from Randall Wiseman when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on WildEye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. Tyson Foods says that labor unions agree to support its requirement for U.S. employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19 by November. Reuters says the company will offer new benefits to workers, including paid sick leave. Companies like Tyson have been trying to give employees incentives to get vaccinated through bonuses and other benefits as the Delta strain pushes case numbers higher. Tyson Incorporated, which sells the most meat in the country, said in early August that American workers must get vaccinated, though the requirement for unionized plant workers was subject to negotiations. The United Food and Commercial Workers International Union and the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union, who together represent more than 80% of Tyson's 31,000 unionized workers, say they now support the company's effort. The UFCW, America's largest meatpacking union, says it secured 20 hours of paid sick leave per year for Tyson employees as part of the negotiations on the mandate. The company says more than 90,000 employees, about 75% of its U.S. workforce of 120,000, have received at least one dose of a vaccine, up from about 56,000 before the mandate. The union says some workers can be exempt from the mandate for religious or medical reasons. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, tossing it right on over to Randall Wiseman with today's livestock report.
Well, in today's livestock news, more than 130 red meat buyers from 21 countries across Central and South America and the Caribbean gathered in Costa Rica for the 10th anniversary edition of the U.S. Meat Export Federation's Latin American Product Showcase. Joe Sheely has more details.
In this USMEF report, we talked to producers attending who helped fund the event. Here's Idaho rancher and past Cattlemen's Beef Board Chair Jared Brackett.
This is my first time here at the Latin America Showcase, and it's really impressive to see the number of people that are here and the number of companies looking for clients and customers looking for new meat products. So it's pretty impressive to watch that. We went to Asia last year or 2 years ago, and you see the different cuts that they utilize there. And then, you know, we're not exporting a whole carcass anyplace. We're exporting cuts. It's the best cut for the best place. It's really neat that we have the ability to send culottes down here and short ribs to Asia and tongues to other places and livers. We're utilizing the whole animal, so we're getting the best dollar back for our producers at home.
National Pork Board Director Bob Ruth was pleased to see strong demand for a wide range of U.S. pork cuts.
Very impressed with the number of people here interested in buying U.S. pork and beef. It's been amazing the potential that I've heard about with a lot of different cuts of our primals. That's been a big eye-opener to me, the potential for center-of-the-plate opportunities, both in food service and in retail.
Cattle producer Ivan Rush, a member of the Nebraska Beef Council, commented on his visit to supermarkets in Costa Rica.
Well, it is great to see the U.S. meat products in these local stores in Costa Rica. They look fresh. They look like something that a consumer would be really pleased to carry out. And it's also good to see the prices are very competitive to the local product. Very good quality, well displayed. Retail store sales here has really increased during the pandemic. They're cooking a lot more at home. And it's also interesting to see the USMEF is providing education to the consumers here, just as we are in other parts of the world.
For more information, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm Joe Sheely.
Thanks, Joe. And the American Sheep Industry Association submitted comments last week to the U.S. Department of Agriculture concerning investments and opportunities for meat and poultry processing infrastructure as requested by the Biden administration back in July. According to the letter, the lamb processing sector is highly concentrated, with 2 to 3 firms influencing the majority of the market sales. Imported lamb is also very concentrated in the marketplace and influencing the other half of lamb meat sales in the U.S. This concentration was highlighted during the outset of the COVID-19 pandemic, when sudden loss of restaurant and food service sales forced the bankruptcy proceedings of our second largest lamb packing facility, Mountain States Rosen. Now, the comments go on to specifically address a number of aspects of lamb processing. You can read all about it on the ASA website, sheepusa.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West.
Thanks, Randall. And in more agriculture news, how one county is highlighting women in agriculture. County crop and livestock reports for the year 2020 are surfacing across the state, and these efforts reflect the region's hard work over the year and helps to predict the future trends. Ventura County Ag Commissioner Ed Williams recognized the importance of farm workers' efforts and how it affects people's everyday lives.
Farmers and farm workers are working from a lot of times from daylight to dark, and you know, they are a very essential part of our health in our community, the quality of life that we have here, the ability to have food, clothing, all of those things. And it takes a full community to be able to achieve those things.
Williams noted the success of the county's industry is made up of more than just production agriculture, which is why, in addition to highlighting the top commodities, the county's report is also focusing on the contribution of the hardworking women in the industry.
We have a significant number of women in positions of leadership in various different aspects of agriculture, from production, packing house operation and management, to farm operations, all the way down to ag education for children, to make sure that they understand the importance of agriculture in our community, to the community-based organizations that that advocate for farm worker safety.
The theme of this year's report is Women in Agriculture. Throughout the report is a Q&A portion with 3 former women deputy ag commissioners, as well as photographs of women working in the industry. The report also has highlights of women and their unique industry stories. To view the Ventura County Crop and Livestock Report, visit www.ventura.org. This is Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. We'll be right back in just a moment with more agriculture news. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. If you were with us at the top of the show, you heard a short report on the Drought Relief Water Bird program that's available for rice growers. Now, Brian German has the full interview with Luke Matthews of the California Rice Commission.
Here with Luke Matthews this morning, the Wildlife Programs Manager for the California Rice Commission. And we're talking about a new program that was recently announced, the Drought Relief Water Bird Program. It looks to help improve habitat for the different water birds that travel up and down the state. And so first, let's just kind of go over the basics of this new program and what it's about here.
Yeah, so this is a program that's being funded by the Department of Water Resources, and it's really, in its essence, it's to provide some extra winter habitat for migratory birds that are coming, you know, to the Sacramento Valley in their annual migrations this winter. There's a pretty big deficit of flooded habitat this year, given the drought conditions. And so this program provides cost share payments to help operate groundwater pumps to create that habitat. And I would say that this is going to be rice and wetlands. So there will be a wetland component. It's primarily rice. But yeah, so a distilled version is that this is a program that helps cover the costs of pumping groundwater on rice and wetlands to create habitat for birds.
Very good. And there are some parameters for applying here for those that are interested. So what are some of the expectations or requirements that need to be met to be eligible?
Yeah, well, so first and foremost, you have to have the infrastructure to and ability to pump groundwater since it's a groundwater program. But we know that groundwater is a limited resource on its own. So there are additional restrictions around that. So we are, you know, very cognizant of proximity to rivers and streams, for example, or other areas that are experiencing issues with municipal wells going dry or groundwater depletion zone. So we're avoiding areas that are already sort of experiencing issues with groundwater. I would say the other sort of exclusion zone that we have is around major airports. Obviously, you don't want to create a lot of bird habitat in close proximity to airports. As we know, that doesn't always go well.
No, birds and airports aren't generally a good combination there. And now in a recent notice that CRC sent out, you've got some other details here about what kind of management practices are expected to be eligible for the program with some specifics on tillage and things like that. So what are some of the parameters for this?
Yeah, so there's more sort of, you know, fine detail about what sort of post-harvest treatments we're looking for. While the growers will definitely receive the benefits of decomposition of their straw, this is really to create more habitat. And so we want to eliminate any sort of heavy tillage because that buries a lot of the waste grain, which is a key food source for waterfowl. So tillage is acceptable in this, but, you know, heavy tillage would exclude people from participating.
And the announcement for the program was made recently, and it looks like it's a pretty brief window to apply here. The bidding opens up on September 8th, but anyone interested will probably want to get their information sent in sooner rather than later, right?
Yeah, it's a very short timeline here. You know, we just got the approval from the state to get this program started. So we're turning it all around, and applications will open, as you said, on September 8th, and they will close on September 20th. So pretty short application window. And then we will take a couple weeks to review the applications and get back to the growers and property owners. And then the flooding period will start on November 1st and extend to January 31st.
Very good. And so for those that may be interested, they'll want to submit their bids to the California Ricelands Waterbird Foundation by September 20th. And now this process is a little bit different than maybe some other traditional programs in how people might apply. Can you talk a little bit more about how this is going to work?
Yes, that's correct. We at the Waterbird Foundation, we run some shorebird programs, so it's already set up for this auction. And I guess something that's unique about this program is that we're running what is called a reverse auction. And that means that the growers and landowners will submit a bid to us, right? So it's not a fixed cost program. It's very flexible. So depending on the cost of operations on any particular farm or property, right, they can submit a bid to us that reflects those costs. And so we are set up to accept, you know, a range of cost applications.
Well, that's interesting, and could be a pretty efficient way to go about doing this. Some operations might be able to achieve more of what you're looking for at maybe a lower cost than someone else. So this should allow essentially for the most impact as possible using the funding that's available.
Yeah, that's correct. We will evaluate all of this, and you know, we consider some of the factors we already talked about, you know, with relation to exclusion zones and areas to avoid. But then we also factor in, you know, habitat value, the timing, you know, the amount of water and the cost, right? So all of that goes into our sort of selection process for these programs.
Very good. And now just lastly, where can people go to get some more information or to submit their bids for the program?
If people aren't already familiar, as you mentioned, the Waterbird Foundation website is where all the applications will be submitted through. So it's calricewaterbirds.org. And so feel free to visit that. And if there's any other questions, you know, my contacts are on there and people can, you know, reach out to me.
Well, perfect. Once again, Luke Matthews with the California Rice Commission talking about an interesting new initiative, the Drought Relief Waterbird Program. Luke, thanks for going over this new program with us here today.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. It is time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters.
Corn farmers who split-apply nitrogen will soon have another option for crop insurance coverage. Starting in the 2022 crop year, the USDA's Risk Management Agency will offer the Post-Application Coverage Endorsement, PACE, in certain states for non-irrigated corn, providing coverage for producers who use this practice that's considered better for natural resources and saves money for producers. To split-apply nitrogen, growers make multiple fertilizer applications during the growing season, rather than providing all of the crop's nitrogen requirements with a single treatment before or during planting. RMA Acting Administrator Richard Flournoy says, quote, USDA is committed to building insurance options that encourage the use of practices that are better for the environment and producers' bottom lines. We can offer the PACE thanks to the cooperation of four partners, including the Illinois Corn Growers Association and the National Corn Growers Association, unquote. Split application of nitrogen can help to lower input costs, as well as help runoff or leaching of nutrients into waterways and groundwater. This is because it's used in more targeted amounts over multiple applications rather than one large application. Agriculture is one of the most dangerous industries in the country and abroad. The National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health says approximately 2 million full-time workers were employed in production ag in the United States as recently as 2018. About 100 agricultural workers suffer a lost work time injury every day. National Farm Safety and Health Week has been recognized during the third week of September for the last 77 years to help bring attention to the risks of working in agriculture. This year, AgriSafe and its partners at the National Education Center for Agricultural Safety pick this year's theme as Farm Safety Yields Real Results for the week of September 20th through the 25th. AgriSafe will offer free webinars on tractor and roadway safety, keeping young people safe, anhydrous ammonia safety, respiratory protection, mental health, and women's health issues. Continuing education credits for healthcare and allied health professionals will be available with two sessions addressing mental health topics. AgriSafe is an organization made up of health and safety professionals who strive to reduce health disparities found in the agricultural community. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Now for more local news, here's Brian German.
Organic producers and handlers can now apply for financial assistance to help cover the cost of receiving or maintaining organic certification. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is now accepting applications for the Organic Certification Cost Share Program. OCCSP provides cost share assistance to producers and handlers of ag products for the costs of obtaining or maintaining organic certification under the USDA's National Organic Program. Producers can be reimbursed for expenses made between October 1st of last year and September 30th of this year. Eligible expenses include application fees, inspection costs, fees related to equivalency agreement and arrangement requirements, travel expenses for inspectors, user fees, sales assessments, and postage. For 2021, OCCSP will reimburse 50% of allowable certification costs up to a maximum of $500 for each of the categories that includes crops, livestock, wild crops, processing and handling, and state organic program fees. Organic farmers and ranchers can now apply through an FSA county office or a participating state agency by November 1st. I'm Brian German for Agnet West Radio Network.
Ayers property issues have long been a barrier to producers and landowners in accessing USDA programs and services. Now a new program can perhaps help with some form of resolution.
The Ayers Property Relending Program will help empower that producer through a local community cooperator like a CDFI or a local bank to take those steps one time and maybe go out and secure the purchase interest of those lands so they can consolidate those interests and then fully participate in our programs.
Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau says eligible lenders will receive up to $5 million in loans with a 1% interest rate, which in turn,
they will be able to pass on a good deal to their customers.
Lenders have until October 29th to apply. With more information about the program and a September 15th webinar, available online at www.farmers.gov/AIRS/relending. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
You've been listening to Farm City News Day by Agnet West, providing you statewide agriculture news daily. Now let's take a listen to today's featured segments.
If nutrition advice seems ever-changing and contradictory, that's because it is. Hi, I'm Rachel Eslick with your Agnet West Health Bite. Remember when fat was bad, then 30 years later it was the only thing you should eat? Or when vegetable oil was the cooking oil of choice, but now you shouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole? Today we're diving into a couple fairly well-known pieces of diet advice that have made the rounds. The first is the notion that after working out, one should consume protein within 30 minutes for best muscle-building results. The alleged reason being, your muscle fibers break down in the weightlifting process, so the infusion of quick protein aids in muscle repair. Also, you've just burned calories, so the protein will prevent your body from going into a catabolic state. Simply put, your body would feed off itself for energy. Here's my take. If your goal is to gain weight, you could eat a meal or consume protein within 30 minutes of a workout. But if you wait an hour or two or three, it's not going to make a difference so long as you're eating more than enough overall. If your goal is to lose weight, it really doesn't matter whether you eat or drink protein after working out. It just matters that you're in a caloric deficit overall. A diet that includes sufficient protein of any kind, animal-based, plant-based, whatever, will help you maintain muscle while burning fat. But again, when you eat it doesn't change anything. This diet myth was likely created by protein supplement companies as a marketing tool to try and get people to buy and use more of their products. Speaking of supplements, that brings me to another myth that supplements are necessary. They aren't. Full stop. This includes protein, branched chain amino acids, pre-workout, greens powders, and all the other stuff filling the shelves of GNC and health food stores everywhere. Sure, they can be convenient, like if you're traveling and don't have access to your kitchen and the food you're used to eating, but if you're doing all the basics, you shouldn't waste your money on untested, unproven, unregulated supplements. The basics are eating a variety of animal meat, 3 to 5 servings of produce daily, the more variety the better, drinking half your body weight in ounces of water, and minimizing processed food. Lots of sleep and reduction of stress are essential as well. If you're curious about a specific diet hack, let me know and I'll report back. For Agnet West, I'm Rachel Eslick. I can help you reach your health and fitness goals. Visit reachfit.net.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at Agnet West. And our team of Brian German at Brian German Agnet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal Agnet West. This has been Farm City News Day by Agnet West.